Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Don't tell me it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that draws a line in the sand. And now, joking and smoking, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you back joining us at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is another magnificently beautiful Arizona morning. I am so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to have you here with me. I'm assuming that that's true if you're listening to the podcast. You may have heard my introduction from my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan. I am the guy he was talking about as being your Medicare expert. And I will be your Medicare expert all day. And I live on tips, so don't forget to tip me like you would your waitress at a fancy schmancy club. What am I doing here? Well, I'm here to help people feel good about that impending encounter with Medicare that they're likely to have. It's going to happen to you sooner or later if you live in the United States, if you're approaching age 65, or even if you're older than 65 and you're thinking about leaving your employer's health insurance plan and striking out on your own, or maybe just retiring. You're going to have an encounter with Medicare that can be intimidating. And my goal is to take the intimidation factor out of Medicare and to make people feel comfortable about it. And the way I do that is I encourage them to buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. They can go to BarnesandNoble.com and get a very nice $9 paperback with colorful illustrations, or they can go to Amazon.com and they can get an $8 paperback with black and white illustrations, and they can get an audible book in which some person who reads the book, turns the pages, does all the pronunciation, does all the hard work for you. That's about $6, I think. And then if one wants to use their Kindle or their ebook reader, one can buy an ebook version on Amazon for about $3.80. And the pièce de résistance, the crown jewel in my collection, is the $22 hardcover with colored illustrations. That is the book that I'm most proud of. I didn't believe it, but Amazon really impressed me with the quality of their work on creating this magnificent hardcover version of my book. All of the knowledge about Medicare is still there. The important points, the things that will help you avoid lifetime late enrollment penalties, and all of that important information is there, laid out in a very user-friendly manner. But the packaging is what you're paying for with the $22. It's just a magnificent item that when you're finished with it, when you and I have purchased your Medicare supplemental insurance coverages and you put that on the shelf for the last time, visitors to your house are going to ooh and ah. They're going to say, wow, that is a magnificent piece of work you have on the shelf. May I take a look? And you'll be the proud parent almost of a creation that is so rare in the world that you'll be honored by your friends and relatives for having had the good taste to acquire such a beautiful thing. Speaking of honoring, my presence is honored, or I am honored to have the presence of Randy Carson today. It's a magnificent Arizona day. I'm surprised he's not out hanging out by his pool like I've seen him do so many times in the past, but he's actually inside working hard to make this a better podcast than I could ever do it. Randy Carson, How are things with you today?
Oh, they are just great, Doug. Thanks for asking. As you can see, the background on I'm moving so quickly that everything is just a blur.
Well, that's right. And you turned around and alluded to something in your office earlier before we started recording, and you expected me to know what the heck you were talking about. And I had no idea because, once again, it's just a blur back there.
I always forget that people can't see what's behind me.
Right. And it's probably good. I mean, people can see my gun collection and other things. They can see the wife walking up and shaking her finger at me if I've done something she doesn't like. But I suppose there's a way that I can manipulate Zoom to do the same thing that you do. But I just, someday I'll have to ask you to teach me that.
It's really kind of fun. You can I could put a situation together where you could look like you're sitting on the fender of your Corvette.
Well, that would be wonderful because, frankly, it's really dirty and it needs to be dusted. And if I've got to do it with my butt, then I'll do it with my butt.
Do you use a California duster?
I have. Yes. I like California dusters very much, but they have a limited lifespan. Yeah. You can't clean them. You cannot clean them. They have wax impregnated into the cloth, the fibers, and once there's enough dirt there, they just stop working.
Well, you're gonna laugh. Ask me how old I was before I discovered that there was such a thing as a California duster.
Well, come on, I'm not gonna laugh because I was pretty old too. How old were you when you discovered that?
When I moved to Arizona.
20 years ago, 25?
20 years ago, yeah. So I was probably 50 years old.
Now, you've been saying 20 years the whole time I've known you, which is about 5 years. So what year was it that you actually came out here and decided to establish residency and all that?
99.
Okay, so you're actually a few years ahead of me because 2004 was when my house was built. So I guess we could say 5 years ahead of me. And we're sneaking up on 19 years, I guess. So that would be, okay. I'll give you that 25 then. That works.
Well, the other thing most people don't realize, Doug, is in order to be considered an official resident, you know, maybe an official founding father of Arizona, there's one thing that you have to be able to say with a straight face.
Stay away from Arizona. It's getting too crowded.
Well, there is that. Okay. But the other thing is, it's a dry heat.
Yes, it is a dry heat. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't always work. There are people who see through that in a hot minute.
Every time I say that, it's a dry, and I do it all the time. Yeah. You know, because once you're in Arizona and somebody's back there, you know, freezing their gonads off in Illinois, you can say, well, it's a dry heat out here. And they poo-poo you and call you various names. But every time I say that phrase, I think of a bleached out cow skull.
Oh, sure. And my neighbors across the street have a couple of those things laying in their backyard. And it, you know, really looks realistic. Like, oh, God, I'm going to be the next one to go. Give me another beer before I die.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun jokes out here in Arizona. But, yes, you know, I love it. I love it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And bottom line is they're going to bury me in the backyard. So one of those bleached skulls may end up someday being mine.
Well, I feel the same way. I first came here in 1956. I think it was, 1950, maybe 55, when I was 6 years old. So it would have been 54. I think I first came here in 54. And it was a different place then. It had fewer people. It had more Western flavor than it does now. It was less cosmopolitan, but yet that was all my grandparents wanted. And I didn't know any better as a little kid, but I fell in love with it after being brought out here by family so many times. I just fell in love with it. And one of my favorite books now is a book that very few people can appreciate. You can probably, but you weren't here during all of this time. But there's a book put out by the Arizona Highways publication. You know, they have Arizona Highways Television and Arizona Highways Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They put out books too. And the book that I have that I've most recently acquired is a picture book of buildings that were cool in the 1950s and 60s. So there are some country club buildings that were built in a, you know, very modernistic style, and just a bunch of, like, the first shopping mall in Phoenix that was built in the 1960s. And I'm trying to remember back what it was like. The areas that I drive through now that are kind of dumpy, like along 7th Street or close to Central Avenue, they're getting kind of weather-worn, weather-beaten. And I know that I was shocked to find a methadone clinic on a corner, which I used to go to a teenage nightclub when I was in high school. And I used to watch the house band, which I dearly loved. Those guys were great. And it turns out that was Alice Cooper. Before he became Alice Cooper.
Oh, wow.
And that was That's at 7th, cool. 7th and Indian School. And just stuff like that. So I like looking through the book. It gives me the warm fuzzies about my history, my personal history with Arizona.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, anyway, you know something?
Yes, I know.
I have promised you and the audience to keep us moving along. So as the role of, I'm a highly paid producer.
Well, you are highly paid, and I'd like to do something about that someday because, frankly, I can barely afford to drink American beer, much less anything that's imported and expensive. But here's the deal. I hired, speaking of being highly paid, I hired another highly paid associate. So we have a growing team, and this associate has one job and one job only, and that is to curate interesting content for this podcast. And so I'm hoping that as that curator gets more organized and learns more about the drumbeat that we operate by and the things that I like to talk about and the things that Randy likes to hear about, I'm hoping that we will be able to really hone in on interesting content that will interest the audience as much as it interests me. So right now I've got some yellow, I think it's going to be hard to keep her in yellow highlighters. That's the first thing. She's really wild with the highlighting. So I'm looking at a page that's almost all yellow here, but it's about artificial intelligence. And I think that's a very timely subject because we hear a lot about artificial intelligence. And a couple of episodes ago, I think I read an article about artificial intelligence making a big contribution to the medical industry. I think it created a vaccine or something. Was that Parkinson's or was it maybe a vaccine for pancreatic cancer? But I've got a couple of articles here that I probably won't read every word in them, but the headline of the first one is a research team airs the messy truth about artificial intelligence in medicine and gives hospitals a guide to fix it. So apparently whoever wrote this article thinks that it can be fixed. It says in public hospitals, artificial intelligence. Oh, in public hospitals rave about artificial intelligence. The yellow highlighter has made it hard to read here. They trumpet the technology in press releases, plaster it on billboards, and sprinkle artificial intelligence into speeches, touting its ability to detect disease earlier and make healthcare faster, better, and cheaper. But on the front lines, the hype is smashing into a starkly different reality. Caregivers complain that artificial intelligence models are unreliable and of limited value. Tools designed to warn of impending illnesses are inconsistent and sometimes difficult to interpret, even evaluating them for accuracy and susceptibility to bias is still an unsettled science. A new report aims to drag these tensions into the open through interviews with physicians and data scientists struggling to implement artificial intelligence tools in healthcare organizations nationwide. Their unvarnished reviews compiled by researchers at Duke University reveal a yawning gap between the marketing of artificial intelligence and the months, sometimes years, of toil that it takes to get the technology to work the right way in the real world. So Medicare Advantage plans use algorithms to cut something that it didn't print properly. I don't know if that was interesting or not. Somebody said, I don't think we even really have a great understanding of how to measure an algorithm's performance, let alone its performance across different race and ethnic groups. One interview subject told researchers the interviews, kept anonymous to allow for candor, were conducted at a dozen healthcare organizations, including insurers and large academic hospitals such as the Mayo Clinic, Kaiser Permanente, New York Presbyterian, and University of California, San Francisco. The research team, dubbed the Health Artificial Intelligence Partnership, the Health AI Partnership, has leveraged the findings to build an online guide to help health systems overcome implementation barriers that most organizations now stumble through alone. So I'm reading further. Let me drop down to the next yellow highlighted area. The challenges uncovered by the project point to a dawning realization about AI's use in healthcare, which is building the algorithm is the easiest part of the work. The real difficulty lies in figuring out how to incorporate the technology into the daily routines of doctors and nurses and the complicated care delivery and technical systems that surround them. AI must be finely tuned to those environments and evaluated within them so that its benefits and costs can be clearly understood and compared. As it stands, health systems are not set up to do that work, and at least not across the board. Many are hiring more data scientists and engineers, but those specialists often work in self-contained units that help build or buy AI models and then struggle behind the scenes to keep them working properly. Okay, so this whole article is about the difficulties of, I think, relating AI to the real world. And it goes on to say many AI projects are undermined by ad hoc decision-making at the earliest stages when hospitals are weighing whether to use an internally developed AI tool or one built by an outside vendor to improve some aspect of care or operations. It goes on to say, left with little clarity, most hospitals have defaulted to building their own AI tools whenever possible, so they can be reasonably assured of their reliability and safety. But they still struggle with the more fundamental question of whether a given problem is best solved by AI or a lower tech innovation. And I think that's enough of this article here. It's basically several pages saying the same kind of thing. Hospitals haven't figured it out. Randy has a thought, though. I'd like to hear your thoughts, Randy.
I just thought it would be interesting for you in the audience who have not had any direct contact with AI. I have access to several things on the internet that are AI driven. So while you were reading that article, Doug, I went to my AI bot. Oh, yeah. And I said, write
I'd like to have an AI bot.
I said, write me a short article identifying the top five reasons not to buy a Medicare Advantage plan.
Oh, excellent. Let's hear it, what your bot came up with.
Now, you want to hear what it had to say?
I do.
All right. Well, I'm going to read it to you. While Medicare Advantage plans, now this is from a bot. I'm not kidding you. Here's what the question I asked it. I said, top five reasons not to buy Medicare Advantage plans. And it came back and told me, while Medicare Advantage plans can be beneficial for some individuals, there are several reasons why someone might choose not to purchase such a plan. Here are the top five reasons. This is going to sound really familiar to you, Doug.
Oh, boy.
Limited provider networks. Medicare Advantage plans typically have a restricted network of healthcare providers. If you have a preferred doctor or specialist who is not included, you may have to switch providers or pay high out-of-pocket costs to continue seeing them. Number two, prior authorization requirements. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's going to take too long.
It's sounding like my book, Randy.
Yeah. Number three, cost sharing and out-of-pocket expenses. Number four, plan limitations and restrictions. Number five, plan changes and discontinuation. It is essential to carefully review and compare different Medicare options, including Medicare Advantage plans, to determine if the best fit for your specific Medicare needs and preferences. Consider consulting a licensed insurance agent or Medicare specialist to get personalized advice based on your circumstances.
I'm starting to like your bot. I like that thing, that guy, that dude.
That is absolutely pure AI. And I read you the question I asked him.
Yeah.
And that's what he told. And that's what he told me.
That is fantastic. Why don't we start every episode with that?
Here's ask
what
the bot.
AI can do for you. Well, no, just ask the bot about things that Doug likes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's personalize it. Well, I like that. That was an excellent, and frankly, that's making me feel more comfortable about AI taking over the world. However, I've got an article here that's a lot shorter, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again. The headline is Docs, that would be doctors, I guess, warn about AI's existential threat to humanity. Oops, that caught Randy's attention. What?
Oh, artificial. I'm a software engineer, that is a little bit of an overstatement, but okay, go ahead.
That opinion is out there. I hear conservatives, because I listen to some conservative podcasts, and I hear conservatives posing that same concern. But this article goes on to say artificial intelligence poses an existential threat to humanity akin to nuclear weapons in the 1980s and should be reined in. How about in the 1950s when nuclear weapons were created even more fear? So anyway, they're saying AI should be reined in until it can be properly regulated. An international group of doctors and public health experts warned on Tuesday. So they're saying with exponential growth in AI research and development, the window of opportunity to avoid serious and potentially existential harm is closing. The big picture is the warning comes from increasing calls for improved oversight of artificial intelligence from the likes of, and then they mention a guy, Jeffrey Hinton, the so-called godfather of AI, who announced he was quitting Google over his worries about threats from machine learning. And Randy and I had a talk about Google today being the overwhelming police force of the internet in some respects. So the physicians and the public health experts say that the healthcare community needs to sound the alarm, even as parts of our community espouse the benefits of AI in the fields of healthcare and medicine. They cite AI's ability to rapidly analyze sets of data that could be misused for surveillance and information campaigns to further undermine democracy by causing a general breakdown in trust or by driving social division and conflict with ensuing public health impacts. They also raise concerns about development of future weapon systems, which could be capable of locating, selecting, and killing on an industrial scale, I guess, without need for human supervision. And they note AI's potential impact on jobs. While there would be many benefits from ending work that is repetitive, dangerous, and unpleasant, we already know that unemployment is strongly associated with adverse health outcomes and behavior, they said. And finally, my content curator, highlighted a couple of other things in this article. Between the lines here, it says health industries have been grappling with the potential benefits of AI, the improved ability to diagnose disease and discover new therapies, answer patient questions, and perform menial tasks, and its potential harms. And this appears to be the conclusion of this article. Americans are uncomfortable with AI being used in their own healthcare. The Pew Research Center earlier this year found 6 in 10 U.S. adults said they would feel uncomfortable if their own healthcare provider relied on AI for tasks like diagnosing disease and recommending treatments. So, I don't know, docs are concerned, and I suppose some caution is merited. We're sneaking up on our new feature. We have a new feature. I'm going to stop with the content, the curated content, and bring Randy back for our new feature.
Yes. And the other thing I would want to point out before we go there is take a look at your incoming chat.
Okay. How am I going to do that?
Hit the old chat button on the bottom of the screen.
I'd have to go. Oh, wait, this would be incoming chat. Oh, there we are. There's a message. A message in my chat.
The AI bot has found you. No, I'm that is the full answer that Mr. AI bot gave me. So anyway, I thought you'd be interested.
I want to print this.
You can send it to you by email if you want to print
it. Okay, that'd be easier for me.
Anyway, I am going to start asking questions of the Medicare expert like I know what I'm doing. Hold on here. Let me find the question. If I can find the question.
That bot has excellent grammar and syntax.
Yes, he does. He's quite the intelligent bot. So I just thought it was interesting. I mean, it's literally like reading the intro out of your book. I mean,
yeah,
I kid you not. It's very interesting.
In my chapter on why not, I have 10 items. So the bot only did half the job, but still.
Well, I only asked him for 5. So I wanted it to be something that I could read quickly.
Right.
So anyway, here we go. What this is, I'm going to read a question that relates to it. It's off a list that Doug sent me, the top Medicare questions, the top 25 Medicare questions that you're probably wondering about in 2023. And I'm
These questions were compiled by an adversary. I'm trying to think of a competitor of ours.
Well, so, if I knew how to pronounce his name, I would. But I'll tell you, it's written by Jaeger Esch.
Yeah, I'm not even caring about his name. More importantly, are those questions valid? Are they really questions that people are burning to know the answers to when they think about Medicare?
Well, I have a lot of things burning when I think about it. But
oh boy! But then you can take a pill and go to sleep.
All right. So, yeah, these are valid questions. I really, truly believe they are. So anyway, I'm going to ask you one and this is a question. I think it's number one on the list, but I think everybody would have it.
Okay.
Doug, who is eligible for Medicare?
Oh, boy. Well, that one, I'm glad you started with the easy ones. People age 65 or older. People younger than 65 with certain diseases like ALS. And I believe one of those diseases was also, there was another disease that they just took off the list. They made them, kidney, end-stage renal failure, ESRD, end-stage renal disease. People who need the kidney dialysis were automatically eligible. And then also people under age 65 who have been on Social Security disability income payments for 2 years, they become automatically eligible at the end of 2 years on SSDI. Did I miss anybody?
No, I think you got it.
Cool.
But we are out of time. Would you like one more question?
No, we don't have to do that. Let's save the other 24 for future episodes.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, because I'm going to fall flat on my face on one of them, and you want to be around to see that.
We are going to close up shop then, because we have used up our 75 cents worth of time. I thought I'm a software engineer. Okay, this had some extra interesting value to me about AI. But just as a personal opinion of Randy Carson, there is nothing to be afraid of with AI. Okay, it's how it's used.
Okay, well, I like that opinion. And there are people using politics for their nefarious purposes. I'm hoping that we don't have people able to use AI before we have tools to defend ourselves against their evilness.
Well, I have, I think I told you a little bit about this, but I have some people that I'm in regular contact with that if I start talking about AI, they literally think I'm telling them how to get in contact with the devil directly.
Okay. Well, I'm not that bad, but I do urge caution. I do encourage caution, only because I'm continually surprised at the number of evil people that we have pulling some strings in our society.
And it goes along with my favorite saying is, if these people, and they're obviously very intelligent people, if they spent all the time and effort and brain power that they spend on how to rip people off to do something positive, this would be a much better world.
I agree 100%. I've known people like that, and I agree with you. So,
well, we need to close up shop. You may hear the door closing already, but we've used our 75 cents. But as I said earlier, this was, to me, an incredibly interesting episode. There's a couple things I always want to cover at the end. Doug, Jones is absolutely the best agent you could possibly interact with. We were looking the other day as to how many competitors we've got in the podcast world, and we really don't. So I would be, I think, satisfied in saying that Doug definitely leads the pack on what he does with his podcast and also the rest of his licensed agent business nationwide. And now that we're going to start asking a few questions that may prompt some thoughts in your mind, you can always get a hold of Doug at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can check us out on the website at medicareforthelazyman.com or the various ways that you can get the book. Paperback, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, comes in various forms. And the 2023, if you're looking for it on Amazon, is orange. The 2023 is orange. So I always ask everybody to look for a place to give us some ratings, because we are always up against it and we'd like to stay ahead of the pack, which I'm pretty convinced we are now. And we want to stay there. So having said that, thank you for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. And you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma. Now he is living in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude, looking out over the city with his army surplus binoculars. And I'm going to clock him in at about 12,500 feet today.
Ooh, it's cold up here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.